CliffCentral.com.
Hello, good morning and welcome to the show. Yes, we are live and we are broadcasting into your house from ours.
Well, from various houses, actually. And all I've heard Leanne and Sia say in the last 10 minutes is how freezing cold they are. Leanne is wrapped up like a... She looks like a... an Arctic explorer.
I don't even
want to
open my mouth. Yeah,
so Leanne says she went outside for a cigarette and now she's completely frozen solid. So.
Mm-hmm.
Are you all right? I can hear your teeth chattering from here.
That's all we'll get from her the whole show today.
I'm glad we're even on air this morning because I got here and I tried to reset some of the equipment because we were having trouble connecting and then nothing would connect and I thought, oh Jesus, oh no, this is going to be horrible. Our 10th week in a row without like not being able to do the show because we've really done it every single day that we've been on lockdown. And we haven't had, touch wood, any like complete breaks in transmission where like for the whole show we weren't able to connect or anything. We had one or two small technical problems. And then the machine that connects me to the studio, which is called the Comrex, this thing just, it froze, not like Leanne is frozen, but the screen was just in one place and it wasn't changing. And I thought, oh God, this is all we need.
She's very temperamental, that Comrex one.
She really is. You have to press her button like she's like a very touchy, very sensitive, very dangerous woman who is almost looking for a fight with you every day. You know what? You know those girlfriends that you might have. And I haven't fortunately had one of these, but I know friends of mine who've had these girlfriends who are just cantankerous as hell. And I mean, same obviously goes for women who've got boyfriends who are cantankerous as well. Where they're just looking for a fight. Like anything you say is going to be interpreted wrong. They're gonna make sure that they get the very worst message from you, even if you're not sending a message. So,
yep.
You know,
or if you stare at them for too long in the shop, they'll go, "Hit back your panty on."
Well. Is that what they say? Oi, that's a terrible thing to say to someone. But they are really touchy and it seem to be insulted by everything and anything. So that's how the Comrex is, because you press the button and then it goes, nah.
Computer says no.
Not today.
And then you press the button again and nah. You press it again and again, 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 again. And then on like the 17th one, it goes, oh, okay.
Maybe.
So it's really just impossible to figure out what the hell this thing wants. And we've got Greg, who's like a technical genius, to look at it, and he just doesn't even understand it.
Maybe you need a female technical genius.
Well, this morning I had to pull out its battery because it has a power cable, and I thought, well, if I pull that out, it'll reset. And this fucking thing stays on, and it's like looking at me with one eye open. I'm going, come on.
Like a parktown prawn when you can't kill it.
Yes, and I thought, oh no, it's gonna. Now I've got to wait for the battery to die, and we could be at like 10:30 this morning, and we'd still be waiting. So then I figured out that the thing at the bottom, it doesn't look like a battery, and there's no sign on it that says it's a battery. I'm like jiggling this thing around. It's like trying to find the clitoris, and then.
Suddenly
I'm like, oh yes! It's loose, and then it came out, and I thought, oh, I hope I haven't broken this fucking thing. And then it looks at me like, ah, oh, it's reset because I put the battery back in and it switched on properly. And now we're in business.
Sorry, that's more information than I was gunning for here. I was like, should it be loose? I've never been down there, so I don't.
Only for the Comrex.
Okay, thank you.
That's just about.
And then the Comrex looked at you and went. Oh, for fuck's sakes. Okay, I'll go on.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Why do you have to be so demanding at such an early time in the morning? Then just wake me up and have sex. Just wake me up and have sex. That's all I'm here for, to be the outside of a sausage roll.
I would trade with the Comrex right now. It's very lonely out here, you know.
Are you hankering for some, the animal?
No, I actually haven't thought about that, to be honest, until now.
Really?
All this clitoris talk got me going.
Got you excited. Well,
happy Friday, folks. Yeah. Here we are.
Well, everybody's got needs. I mean, not even you are immune. Now, alcohol sales open up on Monday. I know you said you were excited, but in so many ways you lead the nation, Leanne, in this one area. And it's partly my fault for having characterized you as some kind of a lush your whole life long. But the reality is, like, you are more excited about Monday than anyone else. Have you got plans in place?
Yes. What are you doing?
How does it work for you?
So, my mom, who you know is in a wheelchair.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one, because you could use
her. Don't use her.
Yes. No, you can. This is where it... Are you kidding?
No.
Yes. Go ahead. Come on. Tell us all what your plan is.
She's agreed to this plan, so
good.
We're okay.
Yes, go ahead.
So alcohol sales open at 9. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to the shop, and I'm going to put her, because she's in a chair anyway, it's fine.
Yes, correct.
She'll be sitting and comfortable, and I'll give her some blankets. She will look like she's getting her grant, but that's okay.
Are you doing this early in the morning?
Yes, so 8 o'clock.
Okay, so straight after the show, you are literally wheeling your mother through to the store.
Yes.
But even those shops and alcohol sale will only be open from 9.
But there's going to be a queue.
You want to be there an hour early.
There is going to be a queue.
Okay.
So I'm going to put her, hopefully, number one in the queue, and then I'll go and sit in the car with the heater on and wait until 1.
And she's up for this.
Excuse me?
Yeah, she was cool.
She says that she's got no problem waiting.
She wants wine just as badly as me.
All right, and
she will be cool because she'll be frozen outside.
And you're not, I'll put blankets on her.
And you're not, well, she's in a chair, see? I mean, you can pile the blankets on top of her. She could basically be just looking through a mountain of blankets. And people will feel really sorry for her because they won't be able to see what her disability is. So they'll go, oh, my God, there's like it's just a head in a chair. We've got to let her to the front of the queue.
I don't want to love it.
Just so great. This is
terrific. We came up with a plan last night.
That's so brilliant because really, you know, if you've got someone in the family with a disability, this is your time to shine.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So, I mean, nothing's been said about limitations on how much you can buy, and we were expecting people with a surname from A to N to go first, and none of that's come up. There were no other details, right? I'm just checking.
Also haven't heard anything, no. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we're good to
go. Just lie, you'd get a fake ID if they said, you know, only people with a surname A or B can go on Monday. You'd find a way. I know you. You can be extremely resourceful.
Well, I mean, already I had people who were relying on me because my surname ends with an M, so I would have just made it to go and buy for them as well.
Well, let's think about it. The Sanguinis, the Tintas, you guys are fucked.
Oh, dear.
You're screwed. You're in the second half. I get up front because of Cliff. Let me think.
My family's Fundestut.
Yeah, but Mfundo could get up there because he's got a Dladla, so that'll
work. Oh, yes, that's right.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I think this is good.
But now it's going to be what's it called? A free-for-all.
Yeah, it's a free-for-all.
Right.
And you know, I mean, like yesterday I got this video of people in a shop. I think it was in Bloemfontein. Did you guys see that? I sent it to the group.
Oh, yeah?
Of people wheeling the alcohol supplies out of storerooms and from trucks into the liquor stores. And all the staff in the store like,
yeah, of course.
And there's like, there's a policeman there and there's an army guy there. And they're just like, we're not involved here. They're staying out of the way because they realize it's going to be a rush.
Yeah, I've seen similar things of people just taking photos of, while they're obviously standing outside, you know, an alcohol store, but the staff inside are mopping the floors or they're wiping down shelves.
Yeah.
And people are just excited over things like that.
They're excited that there's alcohol coming in. They might not even buy any, but they're excited for other people. Like, I told you, I've got no desire to go out and buy tons of booze, but I'm one of those people who doesn't like a supply being prevented. So, you know, we discussed on Wednesday, one of our listeners tipped us off that there is a diesel shortage. And then on Thursday morning, yesterday, we got confirmation of that in the news. So already on Wednesday, I was at the petrol station, and I just filled up because my car's diesel. So I'm one of those people. I'm not a stockpiler or a prepper. But, for example, if I know that they're going to be shortfalls in light bulbs or in toothpaste, then I'm definitely going out to get one or two extra. So what's happened to me is during lockdown, I don't drink on my own, so I've only really had one or two social interactions during this time, and then I've taken a bottle out of the pantry. But now I look at my stocks and they're not complete, you know. My stocks need to be complete with all the cans turned to the front and all the bottles facing the same way, and they need to be in rows, and it's all very, it's like the Nazis really with their armies. So I'm going to go, but I'm not going to go at the beginning of the week. There's no way. I'll go next Thursday, Friday, maybe at a push, and then I'll buy some.
Yeah. Well, I look at people like my brother who has ordered so much wine from wine farms that'll be delivering a day or two after Monday. Mm-hmm. And he said he was up to 84 bottles of ordering.
No.
So far.
Just for himself and other.
He said he's never, ever going to let his stocks run dry again.
Yeah, people are they're traumatized by this, and now they're going to oversupply and overstock. So you're going to see people hollowing out bedrooms and putting, like, wine storage racks.
Digging underneath their homes.
Yeah, like, people will you know that space under the bathtub? Which usually they put tiles and they put a little wall across. But they're going to dig that out and they're going to hide wine bottles. In 100 years from now, people will be buying houses in South Africa and they'll go, fuck me, there's a secret wine cellar here. Yes. It's built in 2020 and it's full to the brim with really good quality wine.
Exactly. Any nook and cranny to be used.
Well, I know a friend of mine last night, he sent me an Instagram video, or he put it on his Instagram. He didn't send it to me, of him drinking a very nice bottle of wine, like an expensive one, because he was like, I'm going to do this because it's worthy of celebration, and I know I can restock on Monday. And I wouldn't be so sure about that. I wouldn't. First of all, I wouldn't waste a good wine on just coming out of lockdown. There are better reasons to celebrate. Mm. Although, you know, there's some sense in celebrate the small things.
I found two bottles of wine in my parents' liquor cabinet yesterday.
You were snooping around, huh?
I was. The reason I snooped is because they've had this cabinet stocked since I was 14.
And you've been siphoning off every...
No, I've never...
Oh, yes.
I promise. Okay, so once in high school, I had some creme de menthe.
There we go.
Creme de menthe.
Yeah. But I've never touched it otherwise. And I noticed my dad, because he's run out of his wine, and he doesn't drink a lot. He literally has a thimble of a glass.
Yeah.
The glass is actually the size of a thimble. And he has slowly been tapping into, like, the mixers and things like that, just these little sips every now and then. So I wanted to check on the status of the cabinet.
Yeah.
And I opened it up, and I found two bottles of red wine. Ooh. That are from 1999.
Oh, wow. Good stuff.
I don't know so much. I mean, you can allow whiskey.
If it's been lying down and the cork is wet, you're good. That's what that's what I've heard. But again, there's so many, you know, wine is like, let me think, cheese. People are very particular about cheese. People are very particular about, in Bolelo's case, coffee. You don't really know what it is. Because certain sommeliers and wine fundies and vintners and aficionados, these people will tell you, oh no, it's fine if the wine is aged as long as it's lying down on its side. Others will say to you that it's going to turn to vinegar no matter what you do. So I have no idea, and we've really got to get some experts on, because this is the time to hear this stuff.
Again, yeah.
I mean, like, I hate to do a hard sell here, but, you know, pride has been left at the door during this economic crisis. So I'm like, get a goddamned wine farm, and let's they could pay for a podcast series and educate us all on wine, so that the next time we find ourselves in a lockdown, we'll know what the hell we're drinking.
Yes, exactly. I'll tell you what, there was a meme going around, and I just thought it was a joke. It was a picture of our health minister saying don't get too excited before I clarify the alcohol issue.
Uh-oh.
And it said requirements to buy booze. Number one, ID document. Number two, an affidavit stating stating reasons why you must drink. And promising that you won't get drunk. Number three, proof of residence for officials to come and check if you're not abusing alcohol.
No, leave us alone.
Number four, a doctor's letter or prescription on which drink is suitable for you.
All of them.
And number five, permit letters from your spouse and at least three neighbors. So I thought, oh, funny joke. And then someone replied and said, no, one of my clients is SAB, and they were seriously considering this.
No.
And then they realized it was just a bit too much admin.
That's, a bit too much admin. It also just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. You know what? First of all, there are two things I've got to tell you before we get to headlines this morning, and they're kind of both important. So the first one is I wrote another open letter yesterday, and I know I shouldn't be doing these things, but this one's probably going to make the people who loved the Cyril letter hate me.
Okay.
Because I watched the NCCC yesterday with Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma.
Yeah.
And I actually came out of it with a very different point of view, which I know people are not going to welcome in all places.
So, you're human. You're allowed to change your opinion.
Yeah, I know. And I don't care what people think. You know, that's never been one of the things that has motivated me. If I'm unpopular, if you suddenly decide, well, we used to like Gareth, but now we don't like him anymore, then that's fine. That's your business. I could care less. I'm not going to lose any sleep over people I don't know suddenly deciding I'm a douchebag, because there are probably lots of people who I've never known who've always thought I was a douchebag no matter what I do. So I've written this article, and I think it's a different take, and I don't know. I mean,
is it out yet?
It'll be out today.
Okay.
It'll be out today. So that's one thing to look out for. And I'm really not trying to be controversial here either. It's purely, you know, we all go through different stages in this process of lockdown and the process of the pandemic and the process of how we all deal with it and our mental health and all the rest of it. And I've just come to a different sort of realization. So maybe you're going to hate this. Maybe you're going to love it. Just take a look.
And are you going to tease the answer, or should we wait to read it?
So the long and short, because there's a lot in this, but I was watching the minister, Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to, instead of go into this thing and have all the anger and the hatred and the dislike that so many people have of her, I thought, I'm going to suspend disbelief, I'm going to suspend judgment, and I'm going to listen to her objectively. Which you can do. You know, it's a mental thing. You have to adjust your attitude, and then you hear different things.
Okay.
And I looked at this lady, right? She's 71 or something years old. So she's right in the demographic of people who are most affected by this disease. Right? And yet she's putting herself on the front lines. She's an elder, as in, you know, if we were all in a community, a village together, she would be one of the elders, right?
Mm-hmm. Go on.
She is, if you listen to her and you forget the fact that, you know, she's done terrible things to you, like removed your cigarettes from your possession or stopped you from buying new alcohol or whatever it is, you take that out of it, because that's making it personal. And you really try very hard to be objective. This is a person who's trying, and she even said yesterday, and I thought it was quite big of her to do this, we've made mistakes, we apologize for those mistakes, we're trying to get it right, this is new territory for us, we're going to misstep again, but please be patient with us and support us where you can, because we're trying to save lives, we're trying to do the right thing. And I thought, you know, that's not too much to ask. And I just came away with a very different point of view. And, you know, if you've read the story of some of these women who were in the struggle, and she, you know, at a very young age joined the struggle, and she's had a really difficult and interesting life. And we only know her as that person who, at this stage, is preventing us from enjoying some of our freedoms, which, let's be fair, is a big, egregious problem for many of us. And I am by no means forgiving her her disastrous decisions in some cases. I still disagree with her on all of them. But I just suddenly thought, you know, what is the point of villainizing this woman and trying to make her the focus of all of my or someone else's anger when she's probably trying her level best? You know, we spoke about how no one, even people who we regard as evil in history, they didn't think when they were doing what they're doing that they were evil. And maybe history will judge Nkosasana Zuma and Cyril Ramaphosa and all the ministers who made these decisions very badly. Maybe history will say that they were in dereliction of duty, like they did Thabo Mbeki and Manto Shabalala Msimang. You know, those two have never emerged from the shadow of the way they decided to handle AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And just maybe we should be a little bit, you know what respect means? The derivation, the etymology of the word respect is re, which is again or twice, you know, like research, rethink, you do it again. And then spec is to look, is to see. That's where the word spectacles comes from, or inspect, right? So if you respect somebody or you give someone respect, it actually means looking at it from your point of view and from theirs. You look at it from both sides. So I know this is going to probably piss some people off, but having a little respect for her instead of dislike, which so many people have, and you know, there's such nastiness online at the moment because people are cross. I understand that. And as a result, we need to find someone to blame and we need someone to hate. That's what humans do. But it is not, yeah, it is not the best way to behave. And it is not the best version of you that is doing that hating and that disliking and that characterization and that villainization. So if you can evolve out of that and see it from her point of view, it might just give you a different perspective. That's all I'm saying. The other thing, is much more sad because I got this message on Instagram yesterday. I'm gonna keep her anonymous because really it's none of my business to share what someone shared with me in confidence. But I was contacted by someone I really don't know. And she says, "Hey, Gareth, thank you for your podcast every morning that I listen to. I have been retrenched due to lockdown, and sadly I have no UIF, so I can't claim. I'm now left with no money, medical aid, pension fund. Would you have any contacts for me, please? I'm in desperate need of paying my rent this month. I'm not one to ask for money. I'm just asking if you know anyone who may need help in admin, reception, or sales." And this is a woman who's not, you know, in her 20s and 30s. She's an older woman. I just thought, this is the real cost of what's going on with lockdown. And it makes me so sad because I want to be able to help this woman. But I can't because there are probably going to be people much, much closer to me who are going to need help at some point. And it upsets me so much. What am I going to do? And I for a little while there yesterday, I was when I got this message, because I replied to her and I said, "Listen, there's really nothing I can think of to do for you now." But it just broke my heart. It's not a unique story. There are going to be lots of us who either are in this situation or who know someone who is, and we've got to all try and help, and you can't help everybody, right?
Right.
So,
have you pondered perhaps a system to try and help as many as possible, just out of interest?
What, do you think I'm UNICEF?
Yeah, I was going to say,
I'm going to start a system unfair. And we all know. I mean, this woman wrote to me on my Instagram and, fuck, I don't know, man.
Well, okay.
I wanted to share it with you because I'm sure you've also, everybody's got messages from friends who've been retrenched. But there's something about, and I don't know this woman at all, huh? I really don't. She listens to the show, and I hope I haven't embarrassed you. I haven't mentioned your name, but I honestly, it just hit me right between the eyes. And
what can we do? I mean, I have a friend in a similar situation, and I don't know what to do.
It's not like I've got money lying around.
Exactly.
And it's not like, man. You know, we're all in trouble, frankly. All right, so let's just go to some messages before we get to the headlines. Maybe I shouldn't even have shared that, but there it is. Gareth, I do hear you, but I want my cigarettes. I refuse to respect her. No thanks. I will evolve post-lockdown. Until then, screw government. No, that's fine. Kawe saying powerful words, Gareth. Gareth should do fun with words.
Oh.
I would pay for that. Where we basically take a word, and, you know, like word of the day. We used to do that. I just saw a box of cigarettes with Chinese writing all over it in Roman numerals. It's either XI if you open it from the top or IX if you open it from the bottom. What next? David,
if you look at it from the side, it's Elon Musk's new baby name.
Yeah. Sean says, oh no, Gareth, did the communists bribe you with KFC Streetwise 5? To say what you just said about Nkosazana. You see, it's already, this is the shit I'm going to get for the rest of the week, next week. I know it's going to happen.
Gareth, just to quickly ask, though, I get your position now, and you're allowed to change your mind, and, you know, if you learn and you see things in a new way.
I haven't changed my mind. I'm just being respectful instead of being hateful. That's so all. Then, I still disagree with everything. I think she's made some terrible mistakes, and I hate what they've done, and I hate the way that our country is at the moment, and I think the lockdown is a terrible mistake. But I think she really genuinely in her heart of hearts is probably trying to do the right thing. You know, there's all this crap about her being a cigarette smuggler and everything. There's no evidence whatsoever. Edward Zuma is not her son, and this is something that people keep spreading around. Edward Zuma is Jacob Zuma's son by another woman. Okay? She's not – it's not her child. And – if she's involved with Mazzotti, that's something I've never heard. And I know people who know Mazzotti, and he is furious because he's not involved. He says, this is not my baby. So all of that stuff aside, just watch her without knowing anything else in that briefing yesterday.
So it goes back to that quote.
She's literally concerned.
She's like your mother or your gogo who's trying to do the right thing. She's got this huge responsibility. I've said it before. I wouldn't want to be president. I'm not being sympathetic. I'm not being. I'm not changing my position. I'm just being empathetic and respectful rather than hateful. I'm sorry.
So what you're saying, Gareth, is very interesting to me. I was reading a neuroscience paper last week about.
Oh, well, that's a fun thing to do during lockdown. No, but
reading a neuroscience paper during lockdown. Mbulelo, you tee yourself up for this shit. You really do.
I don't know what to do. Oh, sorry, I wasn't watching the
Kardashians. Tell me about this neuroscience paper you were reading.
Anyway, so they were saying the ability to house life, right, makes you think in authority differently. And I think that the symptoms of this, of us viewing a female lens of expressing power, might be what's happening here, is because she can house life. Immediately, she will do things differently because our view of power is so androcentric, power all the time, that we don't know how to respond to somebody who's thinking about the softer side of us. So it's been interesting to observe that from that side as well. That we might be struggling from seeing NDZ's point because we usually see men power crush it.
Yeah, there's some. I hate to go down this identitarian path because I don't believe it's as valid as people make it out to be.
Well, if you make it binary, it becomes troublesome.
Right, but there are elements. But here's a woman who's also struggled in a very patriarchal organization, in a very patriarchal culture, and let's not pretend that it hasn't been an uphill battle for her to get where she is. That's a whole other story. Anyway, I mean, some people are going to hate this. They're going to hate me.
Before we move on, you are a stable man. People don't just change their minds on something this important. Is this through conversation?
I haven't changed my mind. No, guys, please. Maybe I'm already maybe I should just withdraw this article before it even goes out. Because I've not changed my mind. All I'm doing is giving respect to the person instead of hating them.
Sure, you're oscillating, which is fine. That's awesome.
No, my principles remain exactly the same. The lockdown's a mistake. I don't like the ban on tobacco. I don't like the ban on liquor. I disagree with every part of it. I haven't changed my mind on those things. All I've done is changed my attitude towards the minister. in this case, because my attitude towards her was on the binary scale, hate. I just thought, this is a woman who's ruining our liberties, right? Which she still is. That hasn't changed. But instead of going, hate, you know how you'll forgive your mother when you have an argument with her about something, or your sister, or your lover? Because you like them, you tend to be more forgiving. Not of that person being right or wrong, just of the fact that you would rather be on good terms with them after the fight. So you are prepared to negotiate. You're prepared to see their point of view. That's all I've done. It's not a change in opinion. Does that make sense?
Fair enough.
This may be a terrible mistake.
No. You know what?
Jesus. I made a terrible mistake. Maybe there's still time to just cancel it before they upload the whole thing.
Yeah, just send the blog internally first.
Oh, God.
Let's see if there's more context than we get it. But right. I hear you, and I will stand by the saying I'm very surprised at this.
Yeah.
I really am. I wonder how, you know, what was this moment that made your eyes open to this new way of looking at things.
I decided to watch her without judgment, without a preconceived notion that this person was trying to ruin my life. I watched the press conference yesterday, the briefing, as someone who, like an alien would. That's all.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Gareth, we should always be very apprehensive to engage with people that aren't willing to change their minds. We really should. So I like it, man. It's cool. Or not even change your mind. Just at least be open to new information and a new lens. It's awesome.
All right. Morning, guys. I have to... Oh, this is a message that we've got this morning from Brendan. He says, I have to thank Nkosi Sanat Dlamini Zuma. She pushed me to quit smoking. I'm on day 3 of nicotine-free. I was pissed at the whole thing, but it is what it is. Now I can save money I used on vape stuff. After this COVID, every bit will count. Huh.
Okay.
The lady who blocked AZT in 1998, sent tens of thousands of kids to their deaths, is a Zuma first and human second. Take another round of re before you propose marriage to her. Oh, come on. That is just fucking ridiculous. I mean, Morgan, come on.
You're not going to win with everyone.
All right. Okay, I'm going to leave that. Let's move on to headlines. We'll decide whether we publish the article or not. Okay, first story this morning. The Labor Department is in massive crisis at the moment because the UIF claimants are very frustrated right now. I don't know anyone who's got paid their UIF, and I've spoken to a lot.
I've been paid.
You got paid UIF?
Yes.
Okay, you're the first one I've spoken to who's had a successful situation there. People desperate to access UIF grants have been left stranded at a number of Labor Department offices. On Thursday morning, the doors and gates were shut as people from across the city of Cape Town braved the cold and rain hoping to be assisted. They were told to put their documentation in boxes outside the office, but this raised concern about whether the documents would be safe and protected from the rain.
Sorry.
Rainy weather. What?
Sorry, I just saw Leanne's screen.
What?
I forgot my screen was on.
What did you do? Because what did you do? I didn't see
that. I was adjusting my wardrobe.
Oh,
adjusting her girdle, it seems like.
Did you whip out a tit?
No, I was adjusting my pants.
Do you know how many people... You've seen that video of the guy who gets told Control Alt 7? Have you heard that?
Yes, no. I have.
Calm down, Sia. There's this guy who's on a video conference call, and the other guy on the call says to him, listen, you know, during those boring presentations, you can freeze your screen when you're looking thoughtful, and then you can carry on doing other things in the background, and they won't see your live screen. And you have to go Control Alt 7. So the guy does it, thinking it's worked. And then
he starts swearing at his boss.
He's like, fuck you asshole. And then the boss is like, what? What the hell is wrong with you? Everybody knows it's Control Alt 8. So the guy then tries it just a little bit later in the call. He tries Control Alt 8, and he thinks that's worked as well. And then the boss goes, "That was a trap, and you're fired."
Yeah.
Oh, what an idiot.
Sorry, Thea. I rejoined and forgot my camera was back on.
I thought you guys were being extremely insensitive to the people whose grants haven't been paid.
No, I'm so sorry to take away from the story. Okay, we'll be serious.
I can only imagine what you saw.
And then, Leanne, please keep your pelvis away from the camera. Thank you. As you were, Karen.
All right, so I don't know what's happening with the UIF, but supposedly there's a massive backlog and they're trying to pay everybody in. I hope that money is still there because we all pay UIF. If you're an employer, you have to pay UIF on every one of your employees precisely for a situation like this where people might either be laid off, retrenched, there's a pause in their employment, or something happens like a pandemic, and that's why you pay UIF. And there are lots of companies that don't pay UIF, and they're in big trouble now because their employees are going to claim their UIF, and then they get there and the UIF says, "Oh no, your employer hasn't paid for 20 years. And then those people are in big trouble. So there's going to be a queue not only outside the UIF, but there's going to be a massive queue outside the CCMA, the Council for Conciliation, Mediation and Arbitration, because people have been treated unfairly by their employers. Police across the world are warning that criminals and pedophiles are using the coronavirus lockdown to target children, as if you didn't have enough to worry about. Turns out that there are pedophiles. This is data gathered by the BBC.
Oh, man.
It reveals that demand for abuse imagery has shot up. Reports of obscene online material more than doubled globally to more than 4 million between March and April. The U.S.-based Center for Missing and Exploited Children said that some of the rise related to one specifically horrific and widely circulated video in the U.K. where 300,000 people are considered a threat to children. 300,000 people. You know, they haven't lost a quarter of that to coronavirus, and we've stopped the whole world. But there are 300,000 people in the U.K. who are considered a threat to children?
Shucks.
Jesus, that's a big number. There were nearly 9 million attempts in the last month to access child sexual abuse websites, which had been previously blocked by the Internet Watch Foundation.
9 million. And that was just from one man in one street.
Jesus, that is unbelievably scary. You know, I 300,000 people in the UK alone who are considered a threat to children? Sure. It's a terrifying number. So just be on the lookout. Be extra aware. And then from the BBC, this George Floyd video, which has gone viral. You know, George Floyd, who is the 46-year-old who died on Monday in that video, which showed him gasping for breath as a white policeman knelt on his neck. Protests are now taking place for a third night in the city of Minneapolis. Reports say one police station has been overrun by demonstrators and officers were seen abandoning the building that was set on fire. So people are justifiably upset, but I don't understand why when people are upset they need to loot stores like Target. This is never going to make sense to me.
And it's all just to get attention.
Well, yes, I mean, you could be upset about George Floyd, especially if you're related to George Floyd. I would say you have a reason. But this just, it drives me crazy that I saw some video footage yesterday, again on social media, which I should just be off of it because it's bad for you during a time like this. And people are looting stores, people who are not relatives of George Floyd. And these are not protests. This is just riots and looting and violence. It's any excuse, it seems, for people to behave in a crazy fashion. And this excuse is like, oh, well, this guy was killed by the police. It's a terrible thing that has happened to George Floyd, and it should be. And I think even President Trump released a statement that they're going to investigate and they're going to find out what went on there, and they're going to hold people responsible. There is a human being who has died. And police brutality, like with that guy Collins Quaza in Alexandria, should never be Police and army brutality should never be tolerated, ever. But the fact that there are riots and violence and looting by people who are not even from the neighborhood George Floyd lived in, that to me indicates something much more sinister. I mean, they're burning down the evidence room at the police station so that other criminals will go free. This is criminals acting on behalf of other criminals and using police brutality as the excuse. So if George Floyd's death needs to be investigated, so do these riots, and they must find the people responsible for them and put those people in jail.
But you've read, I don't know if you've read Madness of Crowds, Gareth.
Yeah, it's just stupidity. This is what
But happens. You understand this when that happens. Yes. It's delirium, right?
Yeah, it's delirium.
It's not about it, really.
And people, and you know, I used to do this sketch, which now would probably get me fired if I were on a normal radio station, where I would be like, you know, these Hasidic Jews and Koreans and blacks in New York get into a fight with each other. And then there's a car accident, and the one black guy says to the other black guy, he just crashed into our car. And then the Jewish cop goes, what happened, are you okay? He goes, yeah, you crashed into my car, now I'm going to have to steal a TV. And I'm like, you know, that's kind of the madness that ensues in these situations. I do not get it, and it drives me crazy. So Minneapolis is just a fucking disaster right now. You know what's going to happen, right? Because there are people destroying property and destroying evidence and arson of public buildings. Then what's going to happen is those same National Guard people who did what they did to George Floyd are going to be released on the community at large. So it's like they're asking for trouble now. And don't misquote me here, because I get why people would be cross. But this is not the way to react. And I know that I'm talking about sensible reactions when, as Willilla rightly points out, people are being emotional. But this is just unbelievable. Three nights of riots?
Mm.
Oh, boy. Amazon has offered permanent jobs to 125,000 temporary hires. So at least somebody's hiring people in America.
Good news.
Yeah, the job market is just, it's a fucking mess, right? Amazon have expanded their workforce. 175,000 new positions have been announced in March, and that carried through to April. Now they're employing a whole 125,000 of these people permanently, not even temporarily. Amazon's stock is just shooting through the roof. More Americans than ever are ordering online. So for Amazon, this lockdown has been great.
Looks like Bezos is going to be the first trillionaire.
Yeah, we're all going to work for him one day.
Oh, well, they predict by 2026 he'll be a trillionaire.
We're all going to be working for Jeff Bezos, everybody. So get
ready. I've told you before, the secret, get divorced. He's done better than ever.
Yeah, that's a good point. But his wife still owns a whole lot of that stock as well, so she's done well too.
I thought she got a payment.
I think she still owns, she owns some stock, dude.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. As part of the settlement.
No, she's done really well. Good for her.
Ooh, if I was Lauren Sanchez.
If she held on to that stock rather than cashing out, then she's really smart. Mind you, either way, she's going to have more money than Croesus. So.
Yeah, but if I was the current girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez, this is when I'd apply hood rule number 71.
Which is?
Bun in the oven.
No, pop, make a little hole in the condom right now.
Jesus, yeah, you're a terrible person.
I'm just saying, it's hood rule number 71. Lauren, girl, you got to apply it. You got to make sure that you are part of that trillionaire situation.
You got to get yours.
That is so morally indefensible. I don't even know where to start with you.
Is it reprehensible to you guys?
I can't handle that when people do that. That's just
It's a real thing, though.
I know, but it's terrible. Oh, Jamie Foxx has come out and defended Jimmy Fallon over his blackface controversy, which is so not a controversy. Can we all just stop trawling other people's social media and internet history to find things that make them, in inverted commas, bad people?
Because who was also laughing at this?
Everyone.
You know, who was enjoying it and who was supporting Jimmy Fallon, but now all of a sudden, oh no, we You know, so horrible.
Like, we're going to get to the point where black people cannot do an impersonation of white people, and white people can't do an impersonation of black people. And by black people, I mean like specific black people. Like, if I do a, when people zol, they put saliva on the paper, and I do like Nkosa Zana Dlamini Zuma, there's going to be someone who's going to say, ah, oh, that's racist. Some humorless fucking social justice warrior. And I don't think we should be giving these people power. Like Jimmy Fallon. First of all, he's not that funny.
At all.
So if he tried to be funny by, in this case, he was doing an impression of Chris Rock. And Jamie Foxx is like, come on. He's like, this is so dumb. He says, let this one go.
I mean, they called to have Jimmy Fallon step down from his show.
You know, so what then? What then? Are we going to have, this is what people have done to the Oscars, and look how much fun the Oscars is now.
And so you look at a show like Saturday Night Live. Does that mean that
no more impersonations.
Only black actors can impersonate black people?
Yes. The people who have the least sense of humor are the ones now making the rules for humor.
Because that in itself is racist.
Right. It's dumb, right? He says, on a show called In Living Color, which I loved, we played every race. Let this one go. We've got bigger fish to fry. And then he put hashtag change course. Fallon, who was a regular fixture on the weekly entertainment show from 1998 to 2004, branded the sketch unquestionably offensive when he apologized a few days ago. See, this is the problem. You don't apologize to these lunatics. They are like the torch and pitchfork mob who pitch up outside the palace. You don't apologize to them. You shoot water cannons at them.
Yeah, because you know where this one's going. It's going to be conflated with Jim Crow and whatever.
Before you know it, Jimmy Fallon is in the same box as Hendrik Verwoerd and Adolf Hitler. Watch. Jimmy Fallon, who's the most watered down kind of comedy you can get. I mean, he basically just makes kids laugh, not even adults. The demographic for The Tonight Show is younger than it's ever been and dumber than it's ever been. This is the guy who you're going to go after for racism? Ay, ay, ay. We're trying to find it wherever we can't because there just isn't enough around. I mean, George Floyd happened this week and we're going after Jimmy Fallon. Mm. This just shows you how dumb people are. Seriously, the world is just upside down. Coronavirus should take a whole fucking 17 billion of us out.
Wait.
There aren't even 17 billion of us and it should take us all out.
So it should just pay it forward. Take out the next generation before.
Let's not lose ourselves in this moment, please. I'm still fine. I'm still happy on Earth. Thank you very much.
I want to throw up.
Oh, what did you eat?
Nothing. I'm sick of people.
I think you need this weekend. Don't go anywhere.
Just this level of stupidity it's unbelievable. Like, people want to fire Jimmy Fallon for having impersonated Chris Rock because it's racist, but a black man killed by the cops this week, you know, that's only for the people of Minneapolis to riot and also be stupid about.
But also, let's not live our life through social media. Most people are nice and decent. Our problem is we all think, oh, it happened on Twitter, so everybody feels that way.
I know, but these people who behave so badly on social media are precisely the ones who lead the conversation.
Just let them be, live your life.
Yeah, all right. Okay,
hang around
with
people that you like.
You know what, you're right. All right, let's go to Lee Wallace, who's an entrepreneur. Sorry, Lee, I didn't mean to cough in the middle of saying your name. It's like the rudest introduction I've ever given. So Lee and the work that she's been doing, putting together something called the Clanstival Music Festival, just another example of how to make the most of the lockdown. So I'm really interested in what you've done here. You've transformed yourself from working on a quaint little school music and arts festival to reviving national sport and more. That sounds like that sounds like a big ask. So why don't you tell us what Clanstival is? Sounds dangerous, by the way.
Clanstival is what? Oh, right. Okay. Well,
going to its primary core, obviously clan means family and festival. So yes, that's how we come to clansival, not whatever you're thinking.
Yeah, and it's not spelled with a K, so let's all calm down.
Right. No, it's not. Not a clansival.
Yeah.
So we were primarily an alcohol-free music and arts festival for families. The idea being to breed a culture of respect amongst the youth for festivals and keep that live festival element alive. And our market was the private schools in the KZN Midlands. And my daughter's school, Cowan House, was the first school hit with coronavirus on the 6th of March. That was Cowan House.
That's in Maritzburg, so right?
It's in Hilton, yes.
Yeah.
So we were right on the forefront of all the changes. And at the time, I emailed all of my artists saying, these are the contingency plans we're going to look at. And they all thought I was cooked. But be that as it may, we kept up. And the pace at which we've had to transform is, as you know, is just weekly. So what Clanstable is now is it's a full production live streamed out of the Hilton College Theatre.
Wow.
The Hilton Arts Festival has been cancelled, I'm not sure if you're aware, because of the public gathering ban. But what we have got is we have got a full camera crew. There's 8 cameras, full light, sound in the Hilton Theatre, and we're streaming with streaming engineers that used to work at eNews Channel Africa, and we've got Siyabonga Media doing our filming. So it is top class, like an awards show. And further to that, we've got technology that allows for the audience at home to be heard in the theater, as well as for the audience at home to all hear each other. So
that sounds amazing. So you basically created, I mean, you were early to adopt this new idea, which is terrific. But
yes.
But are those kids that are making a noise in the background, they're driving you crazy yet?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm hearing them now, and I've only been on this call with you for like a minute and a half, and I'm already just like, I want to scream and run out of the room. It's not just your
privilege. That sounds like such a privileged non-parent thing to say.
It is. That's exactly right. I've made better decisions than you. All right. So how many kids have you got?
3. I have a 9-year-old, and then I just had 2 back-to-back. They're 10 months apart. At my checkup, I was pregnant again. So there we go. And I'm 38 years old with a flying career. And I have an 8-month-old and an 18-month-old and a 9-year-old.
That's incredibly hard work, and you're managing this whole Clanstable thing. Okay, so can we watch this? Can we just hop on the internet and watch? Do we have to pay? Do we have to... do we have to have a really good internet connection? Are we going to see? Are we going to hear? What is it? Explain to me from the audience point of view what we can expect.
Okay, so we have a really good internet connection coming out of the Hilton College Theatre. Mm-hmm. It's a fixed line connection.
Yeah.
So on your end, whether your internet is fantastic or not is not really an issue. If you're able to watch eNews Channel Africa when Cyril Ramaphosa is speaking,
yes,
then you'll be able to watch us as well. Okay. So it costs 20 rand a ticket,
mm-hmm.
and this is not public. We've got the top acts in not only South Africa, but Africa as well. And our whole model is to build an artist distribution fund. So we are now a non-profit company as well, which we formed in March in the face of all of this. So every single cent that is raised on the profits is being distributed over 12 months to our artists. So we have to acknowledge that their livelihoods have been taken away.
That's brilliant.
And then on top of that, 15% of the gross proceeds are for Kenosis Community, which is a home for abandoned and orphaned children.
Wow. This is really incredible. Good for you, first of all, that you were so early to accept what was going on around and find a way to keep things going. I mean, that's just amazing. And then that you're able to give these artists the platform that they need during a time like this and keep audiences entertained. It sounds to me like you're genuinely juggling a lot of balls. Are you getting any help from people? Have you got a whole organization around you? Have you got people that you need to pay? Is there income?
No, it is me running it on my own. I have got such support from the artists, and this is a it's kind of like a family effort. I feel like these artists and the people who are involved have become my little inner circle during this whole process.
Yeah.
We have partnered with a company called Smart Wage, which what Smart Wage do is they pay employees on what they've already earned. So what they have done is they've advanced the artist's profits as far back as April of this year because of that immediate need to have money. And we are now looking at a way to carry that relationship further. And how we are doing that is through our, we've set up, if you go to www.clanstable.org, every single artist has its own benefit fund, whereby if you add extra tickets, checkouts, that goes to that artist, and we can actually release that money to them as and when they need it.
I think that's magic. Is there a way also that people can donate directly to the idea? Because you said it's an alcohol-free thing when you have the actual event.
That's right.
So you can't exactly have sponsors that are like alcohol sponsors. Maybe there's a way that people can donate to you for having come up with this idea. I mean, if we go to clanstable.co.za, what are we going to find there?
Well, you'll be redirected to clanstable.org.
Sorry.
it's okay. Every single URL will redirect to our website. That kind of sounds like Clanstable.
Okay.
If you go there, you will find the artists of Clanstable. You will find the causes of Clanstable. And there are a myriad of silos where we will be taking donations or funds. But if they want to get in contact with me directly, I would really appreciate that.
Sure.
I'm not sure where I can pop my details. Maybe somewhere.
No, we'll put it on. We'll put it in the link to the podcast. So don't you?
Yeah,
worry
but
about
Gareth,
that.
You said it's alcohol free. There is a huge movement towards non-alcohol. I know that it's a really sensitive subject right now in South Africa for those that do drink. But if you look at the market, I don't want to mention the brands, yeah, but there are so many brands who cannot keep up with the demand for the non-alcoholic drinks, because I believe that drinking as a culture has become such a, it's people are expected to do it. And I don't think everyone is 100% comfortable with getting shit-faced at a work function.
I agree with you, and it can be very bad for your career. It can be bad for your health. There's a lot that we need to look seriously at ourselves doing in South Africa and consider whether there's a better way. But I don't think this is the time.
No,
I think people are so desperate right now and so angry. And what I admire about what you're doing is that you're finding a solution to this despite all these circumstantial problems. Anyway, listen, it's great to talk to you, and thanks. I'm sorry it's taken us so long to get you on the show, but you know how these things are. We're also dealing with a backlog. And good luck with Clanstable. It sounds great. That's clanstable.org, CLANSTIVAL.
That's right.
Very good.
Thank you very much, Gareth. Right. I really appreciate you taking the time to understand what we're up to.
All right. You've got a busy day ahead. I can hear the kids like, Mom, get over
My husband takes care of them every day while I work. I'm very fortunate.
Thank goodness, sir. It's good to have the whole family pitching in. That's nice.
Yeah. Right. Have a great day, Gareth. Thank you so much.
Cheers, Lee. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Well, there we go. How's that? That's an interesting thing to do. Cool. Yeah. There are some good things going on in the world. We need to find them and find reasons to celebrate them.
Yeah, at this stage and in everything.
All right. Well, we've got Jonathan Witt joining us just now. The reason is because he's going to tell us how we can get our workplaces ready on Monday. You know that they've asked us how you sanitize the workplace, keep people safe. And it's actually a requirement. If you're going to reopen your office on Monday, you need to know what to do. So he is with the St. John's Ambulance Service, and he'll tell us about how you need to have certain, sanitizing stations. There needs to be a person who's appointed at your workplace who's in charge of corona care effectively. And we'll speak to Dr. Jonathan Witt, who we've had on the show many times and who always adds interesting insights. But this morning he's also going to, in his professional capacity, advise us as to how we can get our workplaces ready. So there's some good information coming your way. Lots of other good stuff too, and you can get hold of us on 0797482090. There are tons of messages that I promise I'll get to just now. If you've got something on your mind that you want to talk about, you know what to do. make contact. Leanne Moles here, Sia's here, Bulelo's here, Fundo's here, and we're all here for you. So it's all happening. All right? Very good. Let's get going. Next hour of the show is on the way and ready to load. CliffCentral.com.